Hi, everyone, and welcome back to our podcast, Our Two Cents Let's Chat. As always, I am joined by Kirtana, my wonderful co-host. And today we kind of just wanted to get on here and have sort of a candid conversation over the platform of a podcast about all sorts of things related to the education system in America. Anything from, you know, the undue pressure that's put on students in as soon as they enter high school before relating to college, or the way that students also contribute to that. But anyway, that's just a little preview of the episode. But just a reminder that there is no specific charity that the AdSense for this episode will be, you know, going to. So the AdSense for this episode and for the last episode over Students for DEI will be combined and then split evenly between our first two charities. If you don't remember, they were GLAAD for the LGBTQ plus rights. And then also the World Health Organization's COVID-19 Solidarity Response Fund. So that's where your precious listen money will be going. But I guess I'll start this off with, Kirtana, how were your first few days of school?
My first few days of school surprisingly felt very normal. Every day, you know, I would have my friends or peers or teachers ask me, like, how was your day? Like, it's the first couple of days of school. How's your week going? And my response would always be, it feels normal. It feels, for me at least, it feels like no time has passed. I was a hybrid student last year, so I would come in every other day. So maybe it has something to do with that. But I feel like we're just like right back into the, oh, sorry. It feels like we're right back into the school year. It doesn't feel like I missed out on a year and a half of like proper, you know, the routine of going to school every day for like 6 hours, coming back, doing homework, all of that. I kind of jumped in head first. How was it for you?
It was good. I think I do have a little bit of, you know, a variance with that because I was not a hybrid student. So I was just, you know, fully virtual. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with what you said, though, that it does feel very, you know, almost strangely or blissfully even kind of normal. It just feels like we're hopping right back in. Now, if there weren't teachers around every corner asking me how it feels to be back, I may not even remember that, you know, it's been a year and a half since I've stepped foot in this building. But I think what really got me about these first few days is that there is a significant portion of the school that we attend that is seemingly not wearing, you know, not wearing a mask, not believing in, you know, taking, you know, adequate precautions for this. And, you know, we've already seen that numbers have started to, you know, crawl back up. So, Kirtana, what do you think will, you know, I know we've talked about this once or twice before this week, but like, if we have an option to go virtual second semester, which I believe we do actually, do you have any plans to switch over, or are you just going to continue with in person?
As for second semester, I think that really depends on where I am mentally, like by the end of first semester, like the November, December time, how I feel then.
Right.
On that, I'll either make the move to virtual or not. Also, because we are juniors this year, and I'm taking five APs this year. So, and second semester is usually kind of when we hone in on those subjects and start prepping for the exam season. So I don't know. That's all going to depend by where I am mentally then. So I can't gauge that as of now. But as for the masks, I think you were saying that you've seen a significant number of people not wearing masks, correct? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I haven't really seen much of that, at least in the school that we go to or we attend. I feel like we're lucky in the sense that, I mean, it obviously is bad, but it isn't as bad as it is in other high schools where, you know, kids are kind of just walking around like rampant, and you know what I mean? The virus is rampant, and I feel like we're kind of lucky in that sense, because a lot of my peers are in like a classroom of like 30 kids, I would say a good 25 of the 30 kids are wearing masks in my classes at least.
Right.
So,
and this topic, I guess, kind of today's episode, which is this overwhelming pressure about the future, this overwhelming pressure of, you know, once you get out of school, you're going to have to go to college where you'll have to be competitive. Once you get out of college, you'll have to go to a job which is competitive. Once you, you know, you'll have to compete in your job for a promotion. These systems are so volatile almost. I know that's a, you know, a strong statement to make.
No.
They're so, it's almost like they push people, not just students, but people an unhealthy amount. And so when you see, you know, kids freaking out about, you know, in junior year, having to take the SAT, how many APs am I taking? What's my GPA? Am I doing enough extracurricular service? Am I in enough, you know, clubs? When you see people freaking out about that, when you see students, you know, finding out that they're, you know, this is making them really depressed, it's just so saddening to see, because this is not what it's, you know, supposed to be. You know, we're taught from birth that, you know, once you are done with school, then you get to go to college and, you know, it's going to be so fun. And then you get to start the rest of your life. But in reality, it's just like you're starting another this is going to sound so melodramatic, but it's just like you're starting another chapter of suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's so competitive. And for what?
It is competitive, and it's like not like you said, it's like another chapter of suffering every time. Yeah. I like to kind of think of it as a cycle, like you're just restarting the cycle every different, like, you know, each phase you're just restarting the cycle. But right. This morning I find myself in a very optimistic mood. If we were to have this conversation a couple nights ago, I would have been like, I hate everything and I hate school, and I would have given you an entire, like, you know what I mean, a very, I mean, you
passion soliloquy.
Yeah, you would have assumed that, like, anyone who was listening would think, yeah, that Kirsana girl, she is a complete anarchist. Like, she is masochistic and she wants nothing good for this world. But
right
now, I also kind of feel like, I think the pandemic sort of prepped me, going back to our earlier conversation, because I had a lot of time to think, oh, like, the SAT is coming up. Oh, college is coming up. So I had a lot of time to sit on it. So I also feel like a lot of people now, people who are all, like, you know, kids, students who are all virtual the past year, kind of feel like, oh, like, this is all just hitting me now that, like, you know, all of this is coming up or whatever. But for me, it was kind of the opposite. Like, I've been preparing myself for a year now, thinking, okay, I'm going to be taking 5 APs. I'm going to be having a lot of homework. I'm going to have to do a lot of studying. I do a lot of extracurriculars. So now I feel kind of like, yes, is it exhausting? Yes. Is it hard? Yes. At times, do I find myself sinking into potholes of depression? Absolutely. I find myself overwhelmed with anxiety. Just, you know what I mean? All the time. But it's also kind of, but it's different for me in the sense that I've also kind of come to terms with it. Like, these are just, like, this anxiety that I occasionally go through, or these episodes of depression that I occasionally go through, are just going to be there, and I'm just going to have to deal with them as they come to me.
Right.
I can't sit and be like, I'm not going to do any of this, and I'm not going to be competitive, and I'm going to quit all these extracurriculars, I'm going to quit all these classes.
Right.
Because then why did I, you know what I mean? Why... Like, I didn't succumb to all of this pressure for it to amount to nothing, if that
right.
makes
sense. And that's, I think, what we're trying to hit at, is that this pressure that we feel is, you know, necessary, because it is, is something that just, at least in my opinion, shouldn't exist. Like, you know, this feeling of constantly having to be, you know, taking the most APs, getting the best score on the SAT. Yes, of course, you should strive for the best you can. Yes, of course, you should, you know, if you feel like you can take 5 APs, 6 APs, 7 APs, you should take them. But I think what we're trying to say, or at least I'm trying to say, is that this sort of overwhelming need to do all of that just to be, you know, just for it to be enough, is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, can you imagine, like, if we went back, you know, I won't say 100 years, 50 years, and you told those people back then, which I don't even know if they'd be surprised by this, but if you told them that kids in 50 years, during, you know, 6th or 7th or 8th grade would be worrying about the Duke tip, which was a different, you know, a program to get an early start on college, and not worrying about, you know, playing with their friends or, you know, going outside a lot, they wouldn't. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just shows a really, in my opinion, it just really shows us regressing as a people, that we're turning, you know, these things that are, you know, enrich our lives into these things that, like, are so hard.
Yeah, and I also feel like this entire conversation that we're having may just be sort of uber specific to the group of people that we surround ourselves with. Mm-hmm. Like, because simultaneously I'm on social media and I see these kids, and I mean, you know what I mean? I feel like maybe this whole thing of feeling pressure from AP classes or taking college level courses in the sixth and seventh grade and all of that, maybe just, I mean, it's very possible that it's something that's very specific to the group of people that we surround ourselves with, and it's not generalized. Because simultaneously, I go on social media and I see people, kids on TikTok, and they are taking all, like, on-level classes, and you know what I mean? But, like, you know what I mean? They're just, like, living their lives, and they don't feel all this pressure. So it might also just be, like, the society that we ourselves as, like, a group, as, like, a couple of people are in.
If that, almost.
A community are in.
Yeah.
It may just be, like, the pressures that our community sort of bestows upon us.
Right. And I think that by, you know, bestowing those sort of pressures, it's like we also bestow those upon ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, no one is saying you have to go to, you know, the best medical school, that best law school. We're the ones saying that to ourselves. And yes, it's good to have, you know, high aspirations, but I feel like it's definitely very important, and we don't, you know, not us specifically, but we, like, royally don't recognize enough that it's okay to not go to the most prestigious school, because at the end of the day, a degree is a degree is a degree. Right? You know, if you're going for an interview and there's, you know, I was even my dad was exposing me to TED Talks the other day. And there was a TED Talk, and it was this lady who was talking about how we need to, as employers, obviously they as employers, not me, but they need to, they feel like they need to get away from this, you know, let's only go for, you know, the Harvard grad out of the two people that are there, because they're also starting to recognize that people don't, the only quality that makes people, you know, quote, quote, good for their role is not just going to Harvard or going to a good college. There's, you know, soft skills. There's, you know, etiquette. There's all these things that go into it. And so, like, they were talking about how, I'm sorry not to ramble, but they were talking about how, what am I saying? I'm sorry. This is all we do. They were talking about how there might be, you know, a Harvard student with a great GPA and everything. And then also there might be a someone who just comes in and blows them away with, you know, how they're speaking or their interview skills, and they are more likely to hire that person because that person, you know, despite their quote, quote, lesser qualifications, has kind of proven getting a great education at the most prestigious Ivy is not the only way to be successful in life or to, you know, show that you can do something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that, but as we're having this conversation, why do I feel like you and I are the only two people who are struggling with this? I know it's not
true,
but I feel like everyone else knows that, oh yeah, like, duh, it makes so much sense that you need soft skills and not just a resume of academically rigorous courses and GPAs and class ranks and that. I feel like everyone else, like, sounds like a very common, you know what I mean? It makes a lot of sense that you
would
be the best of both worlds, but
I definitely think it does make a lot of sense, but I think a lot of people, you know, superficially recognize that, but I don't think a lot of those same people take that, you know, when they're, you know, obsessing over this, when they pull an all-nighter just so they don't, you know, get 1B in an AP class, are they actually realizing, is it actually sinking into their heads that they don't just need to, you know, worry about grades? Like, is it actually sinking into their heads, or is it just a message that they're parroting? And so I do think that people, you know, say that they know that. They say that they know, oh, that we don't have to be perfect all the time. We don't have to always, you know, do the most or do the best. But it's like, do people actually realize that? Like, when people are sitting down, when kids specifically are sitting down killing themselves at night over this one AP assignment. Like, do they actually realize that, like, you don't need to pull an all-nighter for one assignment in an AP class? Like, do they actually let those words sink in? Or do they just go out and parrot them?
I don't know if I have thought about this concept in the depth that you are which you just expressed it in, but I feel like a lot of it, in terms of sort of maybe the stigma or the pressure that one feels when it comes to school or completing assignments or getting the grade that they want. I can't really speak for anyone else, so I guess I'll speak about it personally. But I remember when I moved here, I moved to Georgia like 6 years ago now. It was a huge culture shock for me because all of a sudden everyone around me, like, you know what I mean? Like, whether it was the adults, whether it was, you know, my classmates started, like, caring about grades, and they were like, oh my god, are you an A-plus student, or are you a B student, and, like, they'd be asking me all these questions, which I was never exposed to before that, and I feel like that's more so where the, you know, pulling all-nighters and stressing and that, mm-hmm. or the anxiety aspect of it comes from. I feel something that I say a lot, and something that I like to say a lot, is that we don't know what we're insecure about, or we don't know what we feel anxious about until someone else or like a third party comes in and makes us and tells us, oh, this is an insecurity, or this is something worth, or this is something worth, you know, be getting like worked up about. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like, that's kind of how I feel about this whole killing yourself over your academic career, because like, you know what I mean? I didn't even really know that grades mattered, or that my GPA matters, or that my class rank matters, until my peers started telling me that it does.
Right.
Until kids in school started asking me, oh, what did you get on this? And what did you get on that? And what did you get on this? And I feel like that's such a toxic thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I personally have stopped asking that question like a couple of years ago, because you don't know where someone is. Like, you know what I mean? And then there's always right. this weird thing of, you ask someone what their grade is, and then you tell them your grade, and then their grade happens to be a couple points off of your grade, and you're like, oh no, that's a good grade. Like, that's so toxic.
Yeah, and I think, like, I don't know if you, oh, sorry, did I cut across you?
I was just gonna say, and it's like those conversations that sort of send me down a rabbit hole, and those are the conversations that make me feel like, oh no, like, what am I doing wrong? I'm clearly not gonna get anywhere in life, and I'm just gonna end up unsuccessful and living out of a box, because that, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I don't know if you meant to do this, but that actually is another good segue into, like, I think it's students who perpetrate this the most. You know, it obviously didn't start, you know, or maybe it did start, I don't know, with, you know, a group of students just, you know, making themselves seem superior because of their quote, quote, superior intellect. But I feel like at least now, and I think the Indian and Asian students are like the most guilty of this, because we do this thing, you know, this sort of comparison thing that we've learned, you know, from our toxic Indian families, of like this not always a... sort okay. of
sorry go ahead
oh okay this always sort of, you know, pushing each other quote quote to be better, but in an unhealthy way, you know.
Yeah,
asking someone, what college are you planning on going to, and if it's not, you know, the Ivy, if it's not,
or well known,
right, if it's not Ivy or well known, suddenly, well, I'm planning to go here. And it's like, just by saying that, it's like, what could you possibly meant by that, other than, oh, look at where I'm going and look at where you're going? Even if you're not consciously aware of that, mm-hmm. That's still happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just seems to me like, if you're one of the people out there listening to this who, when you ask someone what college they're going to, and we're in Georgia, so I'll use this as an example, and they say UGA, or they say Kennesaw State, or they say Georgia State, and you immediately in your mind think, oh, with a negative connotation, don't talk to me. I don't want you in my life. That is an awful thing to do, because you have no idea what's happening in that person's life. You don't know if their family financially cannot support them to, you know, a what you consider a better college. You don't know if they don't have the same, if their aspirations aren't, you know, on the same path as yours, you don't know anything about that. So why do you feel that you are entitled to say, oh, they're going to GSU, you, that's a, you know, that's a state college. Why would they want to go there? Shut up and mind your business.
But I also feel like, I don't know, like, this is not an ideology that I've, like, it's been, you know what I mean? I haven't really communicated with any person who is, as what you just described, in a few, if not many years. Like, does that make sense? Like, the last time I had a conversation with someone who was like, oh, you're going to a state school, like, that was, like, I don't know, back in, like, 2015, 2016-ish. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like, I don't know, maybe it's just because of the age group that we're now in, that, like, that conversation doesn't come up as often, so it's not something that I can personally relate to. Like, even, you know what I mean? Even, like, amongst the people, like, the group of people that I surround myself, like, we're all very content with going to a state college or even a community college because it's the smart, practical thing to do.
Right.
Anyone who says otherwise is just childish and...
But see, like, you know? I feel like that sort of stigma that you're talking about, the, you know, we are all content with it. Mm. It's like, how many of us, you know, I am, and I know you probably are. I mean, I don't know everything about you, but I know you pretty well. Mm. But, like, the people around us that we think are, you know, quote content with that, or, you know, we think that they don't think weirdly about us if we were to say that, do they actually think that? Or do they actually think in their minds is, you know, there's some unconscious light bulb clicking into place that, like, oh, they're going to, you know, a state school. And that's what I kind of mean with this, like, we've grown up in this environment. I know in the Desi community especially, it's like this bias is drilled into us forever. You know, mm-hmm. It's drilled into us that, you know, you got to go to a college, not just a college, but a good college. You got to get a degree, either law or medicine or engineering, but it has to be from a good college, what we define as a good college. And if it's not, then you're somehow subpar. And I feel like even without, you know, unless you, like, I would say at least you and I, as I can think of it right now, try to, you know, fight against those biases. But, you know, it's just like, you know, biases, we do have them. And so we just kind of have to work extra hard to not ridicule someone in our minds, even if we don't feel like we are, because of where they say they want to go to college.
Okay, so, but can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
Does it really matter to you if, like, someone else is sort of thinks that you are, I don't know, mediocre or below average if you go to, like, per se, Kennesaw? Like, does it really matter to you? It does matter to you.
It does matter to me. I don't mind. Yeah. It's because I'm just a very superficial person, and I care what other people think of me, like, too much, like, to a point where it's not good. And uh-huh. I feel like someone is, you know, thinking, ugh, or someone is, you know, about to, you know, think badly of me. It just really bothers me. I don't know why, you know, not to the point where it's like, it sends me, like, spiraling into a depression or anything, but it does bother me, you know, how people think about me. And so it's like, I'm just like a fragile little person.
Okay. So I feel like the thing about when this conversation is all over the place. I don't even know how I got here. But honestly, when I sort of think about this, like I was saying, I was never raised in this, you know what I mean, in this toxic Desi environment. Like, I wasn't. Like, my parents could not give a shit about anything. Like, they just want me to be happy and successful. And honestly, for better or for worse, I grew up very independently. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To this day, I don't think my parents know what classes I'm taking in school, what classes I have taken, what classes I want to take. I don't think they know. I don't think they care, which is fine. But, like, that's what I mean. Like, I was never kind of raised in this environment where people were constantly like, you need to go to this college and you need to study this and you need to do this and you need to do that. But when I moved here and when I feel like it's also a part of your coming of age and you make friends and whatever, mm-hmm. a lot of the Indian aunties, so to speak, whether it's metaphorically or, you know, realistically,
right,
was those people, like the Indian auntie sort of figures in my life, who would kind of tell me, oh, where is your daughter going? Like, you know what I mean? That's kind of mm-hmm. things they would say to my mom. Oh, what are the grades your daughters are getting? Oh, what are the classes your daughter's in? What are the extracurriculars your daughter's, like, you know, in? Right. All of those questions are more so kind of what set me spiraling.
Mm-hmm.
And I also realized, what does it matter? Like, it doesn't matter to me in the way that it matters to you. And that's not to say that I'm, like, above anyone or anything like that. Because
I get it.
I also know that people who there are a lot of people where, you know, like, that kind of judgment does matter to them, and that's 110% right. valid. But to me, it's sort of just like, oh, I just can't wait to get away from the judgment.
Right.
Like, rather than satisfy those people and be like, you know what I mean? I'm working hard for myself, not for them.
Right.
Today,
well, and I think your parents are, you know, like you said. And so I think growing up where there were still traditional, again, we'll run with this Indian auntie example, I guess, growing up in an environment where those people are present, but your parents are not like that, I think that does a bit of confidence, right?
Mm.
But, like, I think the reason that it, you know, because I do think that it's, you know, admirable that you're able to kind of transcend that, like, I don't care what these Indian aunties think about me, right? Mm. But, like, I never, you know, we didn't, I've never, I don't know if it was my parents' attempts to, you know, help me acclimate or to help me, you know, quote, quote, fit in. Because when I was born, when we were, you know, younger, that was the norm, you know, kind of, it was more assimilation rather than standing out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what it was, but they, you know, they didn't take me to the Samaj. We weren't a big part of the society. There weren't lots of, you know, Indian aunties that were our friends that would come over. So I never grew up with those judgy aunties. Mm-hmm. The people I grew up with were judgy friends.
Mm.
And so I kind of didn't really, I don't want to make it sound like I'm the victim, but I didn't really get my chance to blossom out of, you know, that caring what people say phase. Mm-hmm. I just kind of actually blossomed into it.
Okay. Yeah. And that's kind of also what I understood from what you were saying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I said, everyone's experience with this whole, you know, having your coming of age in a society which is sort of very judgmental and
mm-hmm.
has all of these pre-existing notions about you is very difficult. And navigating that is like, it's hell. It's literal hell.
Right.
And so, yeah, your experience is completely valid. And obviously, even I want to be thought of as a good person, and I want to be thought of as morally good and morally right at all times.
Right.
Me, I feel like when it comes to things like my career path or my life path, that's something that's very personal to me. And the minute I let someone else dictate that or tell me how to kind of navigate that aspect of my life, I feel like then I'm just losing myself.
Right.
But yeah. I agree. I also, like, when I would even, like, start becoming friends with someone, or if I was friends with someone, and if they were starting to sort of, you know, seem to be very, like, if they had all of this, like, if they had this, like, internalized foundation of what a perfect model student should be, I would just unfriend them.
Right.
And try my best to distance myself with them, because that's just not good. But right. Also, when I have conversations with even my very close friends, and all of a sudden they're like, I'm doing this internship, and I have, like, 3 jobs, like, I can't help but feel jealous.
Ugh, I'm always like, shut up. I don't care. We are not friends. We are not, you know, friends that only talk about, you know, oh, there's this opportunity. Because, like, again, I know what they're saying. Mm-hmm. I know what they're doing. Whether it's conscious or not, they are showing off. They're trying to brag to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, you know, I don't care. I don't want to know, you know, because I've never been this, you know, the only, well, that's a lie. I have been a straight A student, but I don't understand why, like, see, even I just did it right now.
Mm.
Like, unconsciously, what was the purpose of me saying that? It was to make people think that I am smart, right? Mm. So it's like those behaviors that are so, like, learned for us.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just said, I do have, you know, close friends of mine who are still close friends of mine who participate in that, who, you know, talk about college in ways that it's like demeaning if you're going to state school, or demeaning this, or, you know, but I just, I always think of it like, okay, I just won't bring up, you know, that with them, which is probably not the best, you know, coping quote unquote mechanism, because I can't think of the real word. But like, I just don't bring it up with them because I'm like, I have no reason to make myself spiral, to make myself feel worse just because you have, you know, these great aspirations.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, again, easier to say than to do. You know what I mean? There are times when we all, you know, it's like we could have like close friends and then they'll have something great going on in their lives. And instead of feeling happy for them, we can't help but feel a tinge of jealousy. And that's right. It's part of the human experience is kind of what I've.
Yeah.
Do, and that's kind of what I've come to understand. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kirtana. Yeah.
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 Wait, I wanted to say something else, but then I forgot. Okay.
Wait, let me write down the time. 55, I'll say, maybe, or 55, 35-ish.
What was I going to say? I don't even know. Like, let's just have a conversation, you and I, and maybe this will be good material, or maybe this won't. Like, let's forget that we're recording a podcast, and this is, like, breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah.
But what was our intention with this episode? I'm so confused.
I don't know about, you know, our collective intention, but my intention was, okay, I don't mean to make this, like, all about me, so...
No, you aren't! This is literally a podcast featuring you and I. Either we ramble on, or we both shut up, and people can listen to silence and ASMR.
Like, my parents are very well off, it's true, but...
Wait! What? This is something that we're just talking about. This is not something that's going to go on the podcast.
Right, yeah. Okay. I mean, we can put it in if we want, if we feel like a good conversation, but we don't have to.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So go ahead.
My parents, you know, the super rich or anything. So yeah. I don't find value, and this is just for me. I know some people do, but I don't find value in, you know, half corrupting. I can go to, like, you know, George Washington University to get a law degree when the GSU College of Law or Georgia College of Law, which is, you know, still a pretty prestigious college, or even the UGA College of Law, these are all great, you know, fine institutions. So I don't get people who are around us. They're so, like, vicious about this. So my intention with this was I just wanted to make sure that, like, who are out there, I don't want to sound super cheesy, but people who are out there who may have been thinking that, you know, oh, I don't want to worry so much about only SAT. I want to get to enjoy my life. And also, I don't want to have to worry about money. I want to, you know, spend that money somewhere else or do other things and enrich my life in other ways by going to, like, you know, a state college or an in-state college or a college that's cheaper or even community college. You know, I just want think like that to know that those thoughts are valid, that opinion is valid, and if you want to do that, god damn it, you do that. Who cares what people think?
Absolutely. So what you're kind of saying is that there are people. So is this like a personal thing, or are we talking about people royally? Like, have there been people in your life who make you feel like, or they look down on you, or they act sort of
and I mean it's not like a, you know, actually hurtful thing, but just in the moment it feels like sort of a, well, why don't you think that you think that me not going to, like, Emory is going to, you know, ruin the rest of my life? I mean, it almost is kind of pitiful that you think like that, you know what I mean? Not you, again, the royal. Yeah. You.
Yeah.
But, like, so, yeah, it's kind of a personal thing because I do feel like that sometimes. But then it's also sort of a, you know, I know there are other people around me, around us, just in our society, in our country, even if I get real big, even in the world, that feel like that as well, that feel like I don't want to go to, like, the most prestigious university because I don't want that sort of pressure. And I'm just, like, I was just aiming to say, that's fine. That's valid. And if, also, a double meaning, I'm sorry, not to ramble, but again, I don't know why I'm apologizing. A double meaning or another purpose I had is those people students that, you know, I know or that we know or that are just in our community that do this to one another, that say to one another, if you don't go to, you know, Harvard, you're not, you know, a good student, or you're not as, you know, successful of a person. Shut up. No, and you are invalidating someone else's experiences or what someone else wants to do just because you don't personally want to do that. So shut up. No one cares.
So I feel like, I think I've also just realized this in the time that we've been friends, that on, and I would say about like 7 out of 10 situations, I'm always on the opposite end of the spectrum in which we were speaking about than in which that we're on. Maybe I've also kind of realized maybe I'm just very sheltered, at least in like the school environment, because I come to face with like some of the people that you tell me about. Like, I have, you know what I mean?
Right.
I never had anyone have these sort of conversations with me where they try to say things like, oh, you're going to a state college, in like a sort of demeaning or condescending tone. I've never had anyone come up to me and strike up that conversation.
Right. So
maybe in that sense, I am very sheltered and it's I can relate to as much. The same way at anyone, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So maybe that's kind of the reason I'm not able to connect as
conversation you're having on the Bollywood party nights.
Yeah.
You know, there's just certain things that certain people cannot relate with.
Yeah.
Which is just, I guess, a fact.
Yeah, and I feel like when it comes to school pressure and all of that, like, I always like tell, I always like say this to my mom, and I'm always like, I'm my biggest critic.
Right.
Myself will be the one that will kind of like tear myself down, but then I'm also like quick in building myself back up, if that makes sense. Like, because I can recognize that, okay, here we go, I'm gonna start pacing around my room. This is I can also kind of just recognize that, like, if other people have things going for them, that's not their fault that I don't have those opportunities. It's my fault.
Right.
Or it may not even be my fault. It just, you know what I mean? It just may be fate in like a, if I were to romanticize the situation, it might just be fate that like certain things aren't meant in the books for me. I'm not meant to get every job I apply to. I'm not meant to be accepted into every internship I apply to. I might not get every grade that I work hard to get. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. That's how it is, you know, like not everyone gets everything.
Exactly.
And so we just have I remember I was having a conversation with one of our mutual acquaintances. I won't put their and say their name here, but you guess. But it was, they were telling me that they were, you know, feeling angry that, you know, students at, you know, a GSA meeting, you know what GSA is, were saying that they have, you know, those students have supportive parents. And it's not because they were like, this person was like, oh, I don't want them to have supportive parents. It's like, why do they get it and I don't get it?
Yeah.
I was like, I wanted to say to them, I said, I'll pose a question back to you. Why would it be weird for you to be mad? Or why would it be weird for you to be jealous? Why is it wrong for you to be jealous? You have a solution. If being jealous is a natural human emotion, especially when it's something that's so close to your heart, it's a natural human emotion. So if you're happy for those kids, be happy. And if you're mad that the universe, you know, gave them something to give you, be mad. Be whatever you feel like being. It's not, you know, ridiculous for you to, you know, feel your... And just don't try to be happy. If you find yourself one day letting go of that jealousy and saying, I get that that's just not how it works, and you don't want to have these quote negative emotions anymore, then let it go. Then you can let it go. But like, why do you need to immediately be like, oh, I should only be happy?
Yeah, I agree.
Ignore my ramblings.
No, and I feel like all of this could be cut and put very nicely and edited into the podcast. But
yes, definitely.
I feel like,
good luck, Dixu.
Good luck, Dixu. This is probably the hardest episode to edit that we have recorded yet.
Oh, yeah, because there are some things that could be material and could not be, and it's just confusing.
Yeah, so it's up to you. You should make the right choice and don't disappoint us. It's a lot of pressure. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
But... yeah.
Anyways, what I was going to say with all that was high school, I think, I mean, school in general is impossible, but I feel like high school is especially impossible because, mm-hmm. you know, you have college just looming over your head. And if you're someone like me who's been making, like, a where I want to, like, you know, a where I want to go to college spreadsheet since you were freaking 10 years old, it might even be a little, you know, it definitely feels like it's life or death.
Right.
And I'm not being dramatic. I'm not exaggerating. That's just how it feels.
Right.
And also it's because I think I've always idealized college in my head as this, like, some, you know, this great escape where I can fully become the person I'm meant to be, and I'll do all the things I've always meant to do, and I'll pursue this fantastic career, and I'll be successful and whatever, whatever. I feel like I've always idealized that just regular 4-year college experience in my life.
Right.
In my head. Sorry. And, but, like, you know, it is really hard in high school. It's really hard because it's not just, like, academics. Like, almost sometimes I feel like, if anything, grades are the easy part of high school. Like, studying and, like, working hard and getting that A is, like, almost the easy aspect in comparison to, like, all the other extracurriculars that you have to do and right. all the social relationships you have to maintain. And yeah. then also simultaneously balancing, you know what I mean? Then. Oh, and even, like, when it comes to SAT and all of, you know, because a lot of kids take the official standardized test in their junior year, whether it's the ACT, SAT, whatever it is. And I feel like even when it comes to tests, like, or even in the AP exam, even when it comes to tests like that, I feel like I worry less about what score I'm gonna get and more about what score my peers are gonna get. Like, does that make sense?
I think I get it.
I'm less concerned, or I'm still concerned about, like, I still want to get that 5 on an AP exam. Mm-hmm. But it feels a lot worse when you get, like, a 1, 2, or 3 on your mm-hmm. exam and everyone else is getting a 4 or 5.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. It does. 100%. Because I get what you mean.
Yeah. Or, like, even if you get, like, a 4, like, you know what I mean? Months before the AP exam, you're like, I'm, like, all I want is 4. I'll be happy with a 4. But right. once you get that 4 and then everyone else around you is getting 5s.
Like, are you happy?
That's when it stings. But a 4 is a good score.
Yeah.
You were content with a 4. But then
let's be very clear. This is not a... you know, you must get a 4 or 5. A 3 is a good score. 2 means that you didn't, you know, you're maybe a two or a one. It doesn't mean necessarily that you didn't understand it or that you're not a good student. It just means maybe that wasn't your day. Maybe you're not a good test taker. Maybe you weren't able to retain as much of the information as possible. And that's okay.
And that doesn't, like, determine your worth or value at all. I'm just
right.
giving an example of,
no,
like,
yeah, I got it.
It's very much, at least for me, it's very much based on my peers.
Right.
Like, everyone around me, like, if every single person around me is doing well and if I'm not, then it's, like, almost impossible, not impossible, but it's difficult for me to accept that maybe I'm the one that's doing something that's wrong.
Right.
I don't know. So basically what I'm trying to say with all of this is that every aspect of high school is hard, and then the pressure that comes with, you know what I mean? High school in general is hard. Just social groups and clicks? Is that how you say it?
Clicks.
And all of that is just difficult to begin with. And then you have this impending doom of, oh, you need to start college applications and you need to do what, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then you start talking with people because you want to get an idea of what you should be doing and what classes you should be taking and what extracurriculars you should be taking. And then all these people are doing, like, 101 things that you aren't doing.
Right.
And then it feels like, oh, well, this and this person did all of this and they are not, and they got into this college, but I want to this college, like, what do I have to do? It's just a confusing time to be alive, and it feels impossible. It feels like there's no winning. It feels like there's...
That's the truth.
And on top of that, we have... I don't know if everyone will get this reference, but on top of that, we have so many, like, Meghan McCains in our school. Just in our community. What I was just thinking about was actually the, like... for people who, you know, don't know, you should, firstly, shame on you, but on The View, there's, you know, Meghan McCain, the host, obviously, daughter of
the late John McCain.
You don't
see. Well, I don't know why I'm getting into all of that. But the point is, Meghan McCain on the show seems to think that she is the right wing. Like, she seems to think that she is the human personification of the right wing, and like that the party wouldn't function without her commentary.
Yeah.
And it seems to feel like, it sort of seems to feel,
which, I
feel
by the like way, her commentary is not even good. Just sorry to interject.
Yeah, a lot of the times it's irrelevant and just plain stupid. But yeah, there are so many students, like, going back to how, you know, in the past we've had peers who have been toxic when it comes to our academic resumes or whatever it may be. It's like there are so many students who seem to think that, like, it's the end all be all. Like, without them, that the school or their class or whatever would somehow cease to function.
Right.
And when we talk about, like, education in college, I was under the impression that this episode would cover is, like, an umbrella over topics like clubs, organizations, whatever, all of that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there are just so many students that I come across day to day who seem to think that, like, a certain CTSO or a certain club or a certain organization will just fail to function without them.
Right.
So that's sort of why I brought up Meghan McCain. And even that is so toxic, because it's like, hello, who do you think you are?
Like, exactly.
I don't know.
So dumb. There's no better word. It's,
and even that. I was gonna say even that is condescending and demeaning, because they act as if, like, no other student is capable of what they are capable of. You know what I mean?
Right.
As if there are some instrumental being to whatever it may be, like, whatever school activity it may be. Like, without them, like, a certain organizing prom won't function. Without them, organizing a certain debate won't happen. Like, that's how they act, like it's the end all be all. And so that's kind of
importance.
Yeah, the self-importance is it is,
it's so dumb. And I just, like, again, we're not trying to discourage anyone from having aspirations. If you aspire to go to Harvard, if you aspire to, you know, go to the top medical school, that's great. That's great for you. That's great for you. Not for all of us. That's great for you. You don't need to lord it over people and say, like, oh, use the same example. Oh, you're going to GSU. Oh, you're going to a state university. Oh.
Yeah. And again, like I've said earlier too, I feel like a lot of this comes from more, like, kids who are, you know, just childish, who sort of feel, you know what I mean? This is life. You either, you know what I mean? This is just, college is just another component of life. Like, you either go to it or you don't.
Yeah.
Like, it's as simple as that. There's no need to make all these classifications and then, you know, sort of develop this own internal hierarchy and be like, oh, like, this is where, you know, like, you either go to this college or you go to this university or you're not worth anything. Like,
exactly.
That's and kind I do of think what that's we are antagonizing, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's sort of like, yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
No, you're good. But I do think schools do play a part in that with things like class rank. Mm. Now, class rank is used for college. That's the I've ever seen it been used for. I may be wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some do look at class rank. But my question is, why? Why are you looking at how a student compares to the rest of the class? You're not letting the entire college. Mm-hmm. You are looking at that specific student. You have a student's application to your college. Looking at that student's application. You're not looking at, you know, how that student compares to the rest of their school, because the odds are the rest of the school or the rest of their grade is not applying to go to that same college. So I don't get why they do this, in my opinion, incredibly harmful thing of ranking their students.
Mm.
Like, that's just so dumb to me. Like, when you say it out loud, surely they must realize that, like, oh my god, we're our students. This is not conducive. This is not helpful to them. And colleges barely use it anyway. So I don't get why, you know, our counselors are always, you know, not our specifically, but just counselors in general are always talking about how, oh, don't worry about college. Oh, don't put too much stress on yourself. Well, then stop the opportunity to. And you as school admin have a responsibility to make sure that the students don't feel, you know, not valuable because of some system that you guys have put in place.
Yeah. And what you said was, you know, the way you phrased it was actually so poignant. And you're absolutely right. Like, until you said it out loud, even mm-hmm. I didn't really think about this thing of, like, yeah, like, not all of us are applying to the same program at the same college. You know what I mean? Not right. all of us will be majoring in the same thing. So, right. Yeah, exactly. Class rank is...
stupid.
It's stupid. You know, that's as, like, eloquently as we can put it, I guess. Yeah. But,
yeah. And then there are the, you know, I don't want to launch into another tangent. Oh, who am I? But, like, there are those kids that are like, you know, I don't think, or my parents, that's the other thing. My parents don't think this is a good school. My parents don't think this. It's like, why do you care? Oh, develop your own opinions.
I've had so many people, like, I will be like, oh yeah, like, this is my dream college. And I'm mm-hmm. like, you know, like, that's my goal. Like, that's kind of what I'm working towards to. And right. then people will literally come in and they'll be like, oh, like, my mom and I don't think, like, that's a great school. Like, yeah. they have, like, a 16% acceptance rate, and, like, that's just not a good school. Right. And it's, like, firstly, I didn't ask. And secondly, wow. Like, yeah. way to just, like, step all over me.
Exactly.
Like,
I don't think people actually realize that, like, successful people come all over. Successful, quote-unquote, people, celebrities, they all come from every university. If we run with GSU again, there's, you know, actors and actresses or politicians or even, like, just, like, rappers and, you know, composers who come from GSU. Yes, there are people that come from Harvard. Yes, there are lots of, you know, Rhodes scholars. But that's not the only way to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel like a lot of the time these comments come from people who may personally, like, feel insufficient themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's, for me, it's honestly just, like, pick a struggle.
Right.
Pick exactly. a struggle.
Pick a struggle, right.
You can't, like, you can't be failing classes yourself and then simultaneously telling me to do better.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, it doesn't make sense for you to be like, oh, I'm doing really badly at this one thing. But also, when I go to NYU, when I go to Harvard, when I go to Stanford, no, stop it. Stop it right now. Otherwise, I'll scream. It really just doesn't make sense to me. Why are kids, all people, why are kids so vicious to one another? Yeah. Kids disappoint me. Adults disappoint me. Everyone disappoints me.
Maybe we should change the bio of this podcast and just be like, two disappointed teenagers. Talk about how the world has failed them.
A few disappointed and disappointing teenagers. Talk about who disappoints them. To suck it up and mind your own business.
Yeah, I think that's honestly... I think that's just, like, a running theme. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just mind your business.
Yeah, mind your business.
Let people be themselves.
Yeah.
And that goes to speak for so many different issues. So many different issues. Be kind. Exactly. I don't know.
It goes, you know, and the kids that will be, you know, in classes and telling, you know, the peers that they're going to go to this league school because, you know, no one, that's the other thing that people do is they, no one good goes to, or obviously they say it a little more nuanced than that, to, you know, again, to run with this GSU. No good goes to UGA. Harvard is a good school. I mean, Columbia is a good school. NYU's, who are you to tell me what a good school is? Maybe it's a good school to you. Maybe it's not, you know, a school for me. Maybe I don't want to, you know, go deep into student loan debt just for, you know, name recognition of Harvard, you know?
Mm-hmm. There, after this episode comes out, there will definitely be a lawsuit filed against us by GSU for defamation and slander. But we love you, GSU, and we all love the seniors you. That listen to are us. Planning we're defending to apply you. There. Come on now. All the seniors who are planning to apply there, or all the people who are there now, like, good. I mean, not good for you, but you know what I mean. Congratulations.
Right.
Hope you all have a great time. All of yeah. that. But yeah.
In fact, you snobs at Harvard were attacking me.
I feel like we could have a whole other episode just on like the toxicity of Ivy Leagues, and
there will probably be a whole nother episode. So yeah. I guess everyone should look out for that.
This conversation, I think I've said it like 100 times already, but it was all over the place. But I guess that brings our episode to a close.
Yep.
I guess that kind of wraps everything up.
Yeah. So don't forget your listens, you know, the money we make from your listens will be going to the two charities from the first two episodes, and have a nice week.
Have a great week.